I would like to read for your consideration this morning a portion of the 13th chapter of the Gospel as it is found according to John, reading from verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, Because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. May we pray together. Gracious Father, as we come into thy presence this day, we realize that there are many needs that need to be met, that must be met in this world, in this time. There are so many that are hungry. Would that they could share the food that is plentiful in our land. There are many that are in need of medicines that are commonplace on the shelves of our stores, drug stores. Would that they could have these medicines and those to dispense them. There are many people in this world that are inadequately and are wrongly motivated. Would that motivations could be redirected, could be honest and honorable. We realize that there are many needs, that there are aching hearts in our seminary family this day. We would be with the Hancocks as they have gone this experience of having the baby that did not live, with Bill Duke during the illness of his father, with DeVita Duke during these days, with those of the members of our seminary family who anticipate their very own coming into the world and launching the pilgrimage to selfhood. We would pray for all of these and those needs about which we do not know that are pressing on our own hearts and minds. Be with assembled religious and church groups over the nation this day. Help them to have visions that will lead them beyond the details and the specific things demanding attention at these hours. But as we come together this day, our prayer is and will continue to be, May thy kingdom come upon earth as in heaven. This is our prayer in thy name for Christ's sake. Amen. I express my deep appreciation to Mrs. Humble and the choir for the role they play in our worship services. And I will mention that as the postlude, Mrs. Humble will play Peter's Toccata. Jesus called 12 men to places of special favor, and one of them was Judas Iscariot. If I should ask you individually to name these 12 persons, I'm certain that each one of you would start off naming Peter, James, and John. Then perhaps you would list a few more, and each one of you then would mention Judas Iscariot. I would like to think with you this morning about Judas Iscariot, hoping that perhaps through an evaluation of him, something will be gained that will be of value, a profit to us as we endeavor to live in these difficult times. We really know very little about Judas. The other 11 disciples were Galileans, but Judas was from Judea. The name of his father was Simon, but we do not know the name of his mother. We do not know the circumstances under which he came to Jesus, but it is possible that he came to him through John the Baptist. He has been known through the ages as the betrayer and an infamous one. But I wonder whether or not we fully understand Judas. He had had some great experiences with Jesus. He had been present when Jesus drove the money changers and those that would sell from the holy place, and they did not strike back at this lone man. He saw Jesus move through and away from the multitude when they would throw him over the precipice at Nazareth. He had been present when Jesus lashed out at the Pharisees, exposing their hypocrisy. And no one dared do that. He was present when Jesus calmed the elements at sea. There was infinite wisdom behind and in the thinking and preaching and actions of Jesus. But Jesus would not proclaim himself. He would not take over the land. He would not establish a kingdom. Could the reasoning or justification of Judas have been, I will lead him to assert himself. Therein will all mankind benefit. He does have the power to rectify all things. But however this may have been, the fact is that Judas did not understand Jesus. His act was criminal in nature. But I think we do need to look at the possible motives that contributed to this act. Did the financial factor contribute to it, to the betrayal? Judas was the treasurer of the group. While it seems that there could not have been much money to handle, the situation must have called for skillful management. It seems that Judas was rather aware of market values. When the ointment was poured over the body of Jesus, Judas, as he protested, indicated the exact market value of that ointment. It seemed to be rather well known that it was extremely dangerous for Jesus to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. While they were still in Perea, the disciples tried to persuade him not to go to Jerusalem. And when they saw that they could not, Thomas said to the group, "Let us go and die with him." Could it have been that Judas knew that they would kill Jesus and that he thought that he might just as well derive some gain from it? However that may be, there are those in each age who will do anything for money. They will murder, they will burn, they will rob for hire. Could envy have been a motive? Well, we ask, how could envy ever develop in a group such as this? Peter and James and John were given special positions of favor on a number of occasions. They were closer to him at the Mount of Transfiguration and in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was the disciple whom Jesus loved. In referring to Nathanael, Jesus made the statement, Behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. But there is no reference of special recognition of Judas. Could it have been that Judas was tired of the teacher having pets? Did Judas betray out of envy? Envy is a powerful, overwhelming factor in persons. One Christmas, I knew of two boys. Each wanted a new bicycle for Christmas. Christmas morning came and one had the bicycle and the other didn't. And when this boy put his bicycle down at the front of the house, the other one was seated across the street, and after a while he could bear it no longer. He ran across the street and, taking the knife he had received for Christmas, he literally cut holes into the tires of this bicycle, the new one the boy had received for Christmas. Envy is a powerful factor. Is it possible that there was a revenge factor here? But what could have happened that would have been so overwhelming, so embarrassing, so hurtful, that Judas could have sought to hurt the master? Judas protested as the lady poured the ointment over Jesus, asking, "Why was not this sold and the proceeds used to help the poor?" Jesus, knowing the inner mind of Judas, revealed him before the group, saying, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." And after this incident, Judas left the group and went to the chief priests and captains and made arrangements to deliver Jesus unto them. But then, is it possible that Judas became a traitor out of a desire to save himself? They would bring an end to Jesus, and they might well put to death each of those that were with him, each of his disciples. Could it have been that Judas was saying, "I am not going to die. I'm going to take care of myself"? And even though Jesus identified himself in the garden, Jesus planted the kiss in order that he might be on the safe side. In every conflict, there is a Benedict Arnold, men who put themselves ahead of others and their cause. But whatever may have been the motives and the contributing factors, the matter is summed up in good fashion in the 13th chapter of John. It is stated that after Jesus served Judas there in the upper room, that Satan entered into him at that point. And Jesus, perceiving the fact, said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly." The plight of Judas after the betrayal is pathetic. His act was so despicable that his colleagues in crime wanted nothing to do with him. They would not keep the pieces of silver that he returned. He could not return to the disciples, and Jesus was gone. Being unable to live with himself, he brought an end to his life. There are lessons that I would draw here out of this life of Judas. Privileges carry responsibilities. Judas was privileged to be among the 12, to be with Jesus daily, to have great experiences with him. But he failed. He became the betrayer. We are Americans, white, Christians, Southern Baptists, seminary students. So what? Do we not have greater responsibilities because of these facts? Do we not have greater obligations and responsibilities than others in God's kingdom and in the world? Is it not obligatory to us to attend to the spiritual and physical needs of people on every hand and throughout the world? Grant that we may be worthy of this heritage. You recognize that privileges abused become curses. We need to realize that there is always a danger of falling away, of failing to respond to the most noble of efforts. Jesus indicated at the supper that one of them would betray him. And the disciples asked him to identify that one. Does it not seem that if Judas had been the despicable one that we pictured him through the ages as being, that they would have known that Judas was the one? But then Jesus served Judas there. And could it not have been that Jesus was hoping to the very end that the best in Judas would have the ascendancy and that he would be faithful to him? No Christian, no person in the ministry ever reaches the point where he can afford to feel safe or secure. We recognize that the power of evil is unrelenting. We continuously need the support of the Holy Spirit and fellow Christians. We must realize that if we do not respond to God's call, the call may not continue indefinitely. If we do not respond to immediate needs and present opportunities, they may go unmet. The prayer of the Christian, as he awakens each day, continuously must be, God, help me to live this day. Be with me every step of the way. Help me not to be a Judas, but help me live it honorably and nobly. And then as we have lived that day, surely each Christian, as he comes to the end of the day, will breathe a prayer of thanksgiving for the support of the Holy Spirit and those about him. And he will recount with the ever-living God the joys and the experiences that he has had in a day so lived. May we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, so touch our hearts that we may have a vision that will be eternal in nature.